This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. When you go from the cities of China to the countryside, you enter a different world. The cities are booming. Rural areas are not, and those regions are home to 80% of the population. Today, NPR's Rob Gifford continues his series on the road in China. He follows the Chinese Mother Road, Route 312, west from Shanghai to the land beyond.
The industrial smog lifts when you leave Shanghai and its suburbs behind you. When you cross the state line into the neighboring province of Anhui, you're going from the Industrial Revolution back into the rural heartland. It's only 250 miles from Shanghai by taxi, but the air smells different here, a mingling of manure and wood smoke. Route 312 divides. A shiny new four-lane freeway takes much of the traffic off the old road. But both arteries are doing the same thing. They're draining the villages of people. By the side of the original road, three old women and an old man sit sweating in the heat, playing mahjong. They mix up the mahjong tiles on the table, looking up just long enough to give a cursory nod to a visitor. The old and the very young are the only people left in these villages. John Steinbeck, in his 1930s masterpiece The Grapes of Wrath, described Route 66 as the road of flight. In some ways, that's true of Route 312. All the young people here have taken the road to Shanghai and the other coastal cities in search of work. Talk to the economists, and they say Anhui should be much more prosperous than it is. It was here 25 years ago that the first experiments in creating a market economy from the wreckage of Mao's communes took place. That, in theory, should make Anhui the center of progressive agricultural policies, but it hasn't quite worked out that way. Wu Faliang whips his water buffalo as he ploughs his tiny plot of land. He's 66 years old, but he has the taut, wiry frame of a man 30 years younger, the legacy of a lifetime of hard physical work. He's lived by Route 312 all his life and still works the field with a wooden plough. Never mind the Industrial Revolution, this scene hasn't changed in centuries. Life is poor here, he says. You can't make a living off the land these days. Both my sons have gone to the city, he adds, and I'm left looking after the grandchildren. The Communist Revolution was supposed to liberate peasants like Wu Faliang. Now, he says, they've been enslaved again, mainly by the huge taxes that local officials foist on them. But in this day and age, there is an out, the road to Shanghai. In The Grapes of Wrath, Steinbeck writes of Oklahoma, a 500,000 people moving over the country, 1 million more, restive, ready to move, 10 million more feeling the first nervousness. Those numbers are too small even to describe the single province of Anhui. You must multiply by 10, 20, 30 for the whole of China today. The impetus to move in China is sometimes the land or lack of it or poor quality of it. But more often, it's the financial burden imposed by local officials. The Communist Party brings us nothing good, Wu says. All the officials are corrupt. And if you oppose them, they will throw you in jail. According to local residents, last year not far from here, thousands of peasants marched on the local government offices to demand a reduction in taxes. So on orders from Beijing, the local government has been reducing taxes, trying to increase the peasants' income and stop more demonstrations breaking out. Wu Faliang brushes the sweat from his lined face and dismisses the policy with a flick of his gnarled brown hand. They can reduce some taxes, he says, but there are always other taxes to pay. He whips the water buffalo with his stick and turns away. A few hours by car down Route 312 is the regional capital of Hefei, where music stores pump out the latest Chinese pop music. In the center of town, everyone seems to be talking on a cell phone. Shops are full of every product you can imagine. Neon signs seem to flash out the message that the economics, if not the politics, of communism are dead. One of the amazing things about traveling in China is that you suddenly come across a city you've never even heard of before with a population of more than 4 million people. That's twice the size of Dallas. But even these cities are just small clusters of prosperity in a sea of poor rural villages. Apart from taxation, the other huge complaint of rural people is the stealing of their land by local officials. A few miles the other side of Hefei, 67-year-old Zhou Jianming sits beside the newly widened Route 312, which now runs just yards from her front door. She has a grey mop of hair and a pained expression on her weather-beaten face. Zhou says the local government took part of her land and sold it to a pharmaceutical factory that wanted to build there. The land all belongs to the government, she says. All the peasants do is subcontract it from them. So if there's money to be made, they'll just take the land and sell it, and there's nothing you can do. If you have money and power in China, you can do anything, she says. If not, you're totally lost. Zhou's neighbors stop by. Husband and wife curious to see a visiting foreigner, a rarity in these parts. They nod their heads in agreement with her. Their son, who has one more year in high school, stands quietly by. The road is beckoning him, too. His mother says he'll leave to find a job in Shanghai as soon as he graduates from high school. No one may believe in communism anymore, but wherever you go in China, you feel the dead weight of its legacy. A one-party system in which local officials and police have free rein, with no balances to check them. Driving along Route 312, it's easy to come across it, even as a foreigner.
Oops, oh well, we've just been flagged down by a policeman. This could be interesting. And I think we're going to be given a ticket at the least for speeding here.
Oh dear. Hey, 警官，怎么回事？
The policeman makes us follow him to the local station, where he points to the law book. He says it authorizes him to confiscate the license and the car of our driver for 2 whole weeks on the spot, and to impose a massive fine. Local police are known to be ruthless in stopping drivers from out of state who stray into their little fiefdoms. It's a great money earner for them. It takes nearly an hour to bargain down the punishment, but eventually a compromise is reached and we emerge to go on our way west towards the ancient capital of Xi'an.
Whoa, well, this really is turning into something of a road movie. We only just got out of there in one piece. Mr. Wang, our driver, nearly lost his license and his car. He had to pay $200 in fines just for speeding to those policemen. That's more than he earns in a month, and I'm sure it would have been a lot worse if I hadn't been standing right next to him. So we're back in the car, and we're back on the road. This is Rob Gifford, NPR News, heading west on Route 312 in Henan Province, central China.
Tomorrow, Rob reaches the edge of communism's influence in China. And you can follow Rob's journey by going to our website at npr.org.